Good morning. On this re-covenanting Sunday, you have new duties. This is the Boylston side of the church. This is the alley side of the church. The Boylston side of the church is to turn to the alley side of the church, and the alley side of the church is to turn to the Boylston side of the church. And we're going to do a real call and response. We begin with the alley side. That's my right, your left. And then the Boylston side responds. So, alley, we begin. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Boylston. Gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Enter into God's gates with thanksgiving. And into God's courts with praise. Give thanks to God and bless God's holy name. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before God our Maker. It is good to give thanks to God, to bless God's holy name. And now is the time we can share the peace with one another and welcome the company of each other into this wonderful congregation in communion with God. Peace be with you.
We are here this morning in this place at this time to enact the core commitment of this congregation since our gathering in 1669. We have come to this house and home of God to practice together the art of worship. We believe that turning to God in worship is as necessary and as life-sustaining for us and for the whole creation as is the act of a green plant when it turns toward the sun. We believe that in the act of worship, this art of worship, as our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our bodies turn toward God, that God warms us with a bright and dazzling love, waters our roots with compassion, soothes our wounds with healing balm, and fortifies us with courage. Love, compassion, healing, courage. If you believe our world needs those things, if you need those things, then welcome to Old South Church, for this is our work. This is our vocation. This is the art and the craft of discipleship. And whether you are new to this craft, just a novice, or whether you are a skilled artisan, you are welcome here. Welcome to Old South Church in Boston. If you are interested in those actions to which the practice of worship carries us, we invite you to consult the green insert in the latter pages of the bulletin. And there you will see something of our life together as an urban congregation engaged in mission, ministry, education, fellowship, worship, discipleship. Help us to extend to you the hospitality for which we are known by signing, if you would, the friendship pad. There's one at the aisle end of every pew. We invite you to take it up. Sign your name, tell us what brought you here. If you give us information to contact you, we will, and pass it to those sitting next to you. We invite you to join us for fellowship hour following worship right through those doors in the Gordon Chapel. I guess it's too windy to be outside, so we'll be inside today. And a very important announcement, it is time for our all-church picture directory. God knows each of us by name, but we don't yet know each of us by name, so we can fix that. This is really important, and if you know our senior church administrator, Helen McCready, you would know that this is really important, that do this for her. Sign up for Helen. There'll be sign up afterwards in the chapel and also in the weeks to come, but we really need you to sign up. And there's an insert in your bulletin about that. That today, after worship, young adults meet with Jack Davidson. So look for, there's an announcement in the bulletin. And before we move on, it's appropriate at this moment to mark a milestone here in the life of Old South Church in Boston. the retirement of one of our members from a long labor of love. Old South member Edra Mercer joined Old South Church in 1954, and she has since that day, since 1954, that is, for the past 56 years, worked in either the Old South preschool or the Old South church school. Edra is the mother of five of her own children, but thousands of our children. She is grandmother to seven and great-grandmother to five. She teaches arts and crafts to children at the YMCA. She is a world traveler who has visited all seven continents. And she has, Edra, an extensive doll collection with dolls representing all the places she has visited. For this reason, we want to thank Edra. Where is Edra? Back there, okay, back there. Hold your hand up. For this reason, we give thanks to Edra for 56 years of tender ministry with Old South Church children, marking her well-deserved retirement with a doll. And the doll that we thought about for you, Edra, is a Mother Goose doll. Since for all your travels all over the world, you've spent more time here than anywhere else, and Mother Goose was a member of our church. So a Mother Goose doll and our most profound thanks, Edra Mercer.
music swirling, I would like to invite our little ones up here to join me on the chancel. All the kids, from the smallest to the tallest, come forward with your backpacks on if you have them. Do not be shy. Come up right up here, up the steps. Great. Come right up here on top so this congregation can look and see you guys.
Oh, a few more here. It is good to see you guys all in one place again. Like your backpacks and your messenger bags. It looks like you are getting ready for something. What is it? What do you need your backpacks and your messenger bags for? School. I don't know about it. I'm not sure I hear a lot of enthusiasm in that, but that's okay. So, how many of you have already started school? Yeah, I think that's pretty much everybody there. Anyone not started yet? No. Well, we know how important these backpacks are going to be for you guys this year. You're going to carry books and homework and school supplies and lunches and God knows what else to and from and in between.
We want to get you off to a good year, get you off to a good start. So we want to pray for you and to bless your backpack. So if you could take them off your shoulders and hold them up over your heads really high so everyone can see, first of all, how cool they are. Second of all, how high you can hold them up. If you get them just a little higher, that's good. Now I want all of you to raise your right hand up and imagine all your love and support, everything pouring out of your heart into the heart of these people, into the heart of our Sunday school teachers and every teacher around the nation. We are going to bless you, but first I want you to look out and see how much love these people are pouring into you. Don't forget that. Let us do this blessing thing and join our hearts together in prayer.
Gracious and loving God, we ask you to bless these backpacks. Make them strong for their job of helping our kids to learn. May their straps never break, their padding never give out, their zippers never jam.
May they never be forgotten in strange places. May the burdens in them be light. May the bodies that bear them be strong and growing and whole and blessed and ever blessed by your love now and forevermore.
In the name of the great teacher at whose knees we are all students, let the people say, Amen. Now, as a reminder that your church loves you and is praying for you as you go to school, I'm going to give you guys each one of these pencils that says Old South Church on it.
And to remind you that God loves you and God is with you, we have these crazy, amazing bracelets that all have different words on them, like love, hope, dream, inspire. So when you look down and see them on your wrist or you see them clipped to your backpack, you know that God is with you and will never leave you or forsake you. Even if you get a D in geography, God is still with you. You're going to take these up to your class and pick the color and the word that you like. Now you're going to go back to your seats, and Nancy and Harry have something amazing in store. So you guys can go back with all the blessings on you and open your hearts for a reading from Scripture.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord on a throne high and lifted up, and the skirt of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim seraphs were in attendance on him. Each had six wings. With one pair of wings, they covered their faces. With another, they covered their bodies. And with a third, they flew. They were calling to one another, "Holy! Holy! Holy is the Lord God of hosts! The whole earth is full of God's glory!" As each called, the threshold shook to its foundations, while the house began to swirl with clouds of smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips." Yet with my own eyes, I have seen the Lord, the God of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, carrying in his hand a glowing coal. A live coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is wiped out." And then I heard the voice of the Lord asking, "Who will I send? Who will go for me?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me."
Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, oil the hinges of our hearts' doors, that they may swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. So the temple is packed, jammed. It is standing room only, and everyone is decked out in their finest garb. The place is abuzz. Isaiah, too, is there. He has joined his fellow citizens for the coronation ceremony of Israel's new king. And the pageantry that day is awesome. A long, grand processional with priests and princes in resplendent garments, colorful banners swirl through the air. And Israel's best musicians are there that day. They have been hired from across the land, and they have pulled out all the stops. The music is huge, triumphant, celebrative. And just as the music reaches its crescendo, the new king appears. All turn and gasp. Clad in crimson and gold, he is vigorous, strong, tall, the very image of a monarch. With the music thundering and the people bowing and cheering, the new king marches up the aisle, head high, ascends the steps, mounts the throne, his royal robe swirling around him. Packed into the temple, the people are captivated by this drama and this pageantry, enthralled by this fateful act of national king-making. But it's then that something happens inside of Isaiah. In the intensity of Isaiah's spiritual absorption, he is suddenly transported away. The music in the temple dies out for him. The crowds around him fade away. While his countrymen are absorbed in the making of a mortal ruler, Isaiah has himself entered the very presence of God, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Holy One who alone shall reign forever and ever. So what is happening here in this sixth chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah? What is happening here is the most detailed and vivid account in the whole of the Bible of the making of a prophet. What Isaiah experiences is no ecstasy for ecstasy's sake. This is ecstasy for God's sake. God is in the act in this moment, in this autobiographical account that Isaiah has written down for us. God is in the act of creating a prophet, a messenger of divine righteousness, a spokesperson who will himself speak God's word to the world. So what is it that Isaiah sees in that instant? Like even those divine attendants who shield their eyes from God's glory, Isaiah actually never sees the divine being. As Moses learned centuries earlier, no one can see God and live. What Isaiah does see is the divine throne, the royal robe. He senses the awesome presence of God in the shaking of the thresholds, in the clouds of smoke swirling in the temple, and in the sounds of praise emitted from the seraphs. Isaiah is caught up in this vision, and then suddenly he recoils. He comes to himself and he is aghast at his own unworthiness. In contrast to God's greatness, he is as nothing. In contrast to the divine holiness, God's purity, he is filthy. And there breaks forth from his mouth a cry of wretched self-discovery. Woe is me, I am doomed. And then notice this. Isaiah's confession is hardly out of his mouth before God swoops in with forgiveness. No sooner does Isaiah utter words of woe and confession that one of the seraphs wings its way to Isaiah, touches his lips with a live coal, and pronounces him forgiven. Such is God's mercy. And then, and only then, and not before, God's voice booms out, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for me?" And in that split instant, Isaiah knows two things at once. One, unimaginable grace, and two, inescapable mission. You get it? They go together. Unimaginable grace, inescapable mission. God gives, we have to give back. And here's the thing. The whole of Judaism and Christianity, the entire Judeo-Christian tradition depends on this. Are you ready? It depends on this, that you believe Isaiah's experience. Not as a literal event, the account is described as a vision. Isaiah relates this experience in the language of poetry, language which reaches for that which is manifestly beyond the reach of words. But the whole of Judaism and Christianity depends on this, that Isaiah in that moment experienced God, the terrifying, awe-inspiring presence of the divine, that he heard God speaking, and that he was in quick succession forgiven and commissioned. The whole of Judaism and Christianity depends on trusting that Isaiah, and not just Isaiah, Moses and Miriam and Deborah and Amos and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, it all depends on you and I trusting that these, our faith forebears, experienced the presence of God. That these, our faith forebears, knew God not at second hand, not by reputation, but first hand. That God spoke to them, and because of that, God spoke through them. This whole adventure in which we are so deeply engaged, this work to which we commit our time, our talents, our money, our lives, our death. It all depends on this, that these who have earned a place in our sacred stories, who have earned a place in our stained glass windows, who have earned a place in our believers' hearts, that these were, in fact, summoned by God to do some good. This is not ecstasy for ecstasy's sake. This is ecstasy for God's sake. And is it not for this that we come here week after week after week after week, year after year, decade after decade? Is it not for a glimpse of the presence of God? Is it not to train our hearing for the sound of God's still speaking voice? Is it not to bow down, humbling our proud selves in the presence of the holy? Is it not to taste God's sweet mercy? Is it not to prepare ourselves to be the answer to God's persistent question God asks over and over again and has through the whole, all the millennia, whom shall I send? Who will go with me? Who will speak for me? and over the course of these past 340 plus years, since this congregation was gathered in 1669, Old South Church has strained to listen for God's voice. We have endeavored to summon our collective voice and with fear and trembling answer, saying, "Here we are, God. Send us." Old South Church has, in decisive and divisive moments in this nation's history, dared to speak God's peace into a violent world. Dared to preach God's mercy into a judging and cruel world. This congregation has stood up to shield the endangered, house the homeless, visit the prisoner, bandage the broken, placing our bodies and our reputations at times between the despised and the despiser, the so-called witch and the accuser, the enslaved and the master, and not least over against the world's vulgar tabloid headlines, we have sung out God's good and shining news. Surely this is a decisive and divisive moment in this nation's history, is it not? I wonder, can you hear God calling? Can you? "Whom shall I send?" asks God. "And who will go for me?"
Thank you.
God be with you. May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. Let us pray. God of the ages, before you empires rise and fall, and yet you are changeless. You are the same yesterday, today, and will be tomorrow. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are our rock and our Redeemer. And so we come to you in prayer. Be with us as we remember the plains. One into the North Tower, one into the South Tower, one into the Pentagon, one that fell out of the sky in rural Pennsylvania. Be with us as we remember the dead, 2,974. 343 firefighters, 60 police officers, 24 people still missing. Be with us as we remember the courage and the pain and the unity and the division that followed. God of the ages, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the changeless one. Your love was there in the beginning, is here today, and will be all in all. In the presence of that love, forgive us for everything we've done and everything we've left undone, for making war and not art, for confusing might for right, for participating in behaviors that we condemn, for threatening to burn holy scripture. Woe is me. Woe are we. God, swoop in with forgiveness and turn us around and use us to build a better world for our children and our children's children and all of your children. For your children who came into this place and left us their prayers. For the one praying for everyone in Boston that doesn't have a home. For the son praying for his dad to have a peaceful passage into the next world. For the one praying for safety and happiness. For the cancer in the body that needs to be stricken. For 40 years of happy marriage. For the one praying for the family of that Domino's driver who was murdered. God, hear your children as they pray and answer them and do not delay. Do not delay and answer this church as we pray for Gwen. And for Gloria, who was hurt this morning, for George and Steve, Barbara, Arnita, Dan, Josiah, Shirley, Gideon, and Wee Asa Rock. Be with us as we pray for Ann Pritcher, who has suffered a broken femur and ankle and heel. God of the ages, be with us as we lift up silent prayers. May they rise on the six wings of your angels. Hear us as we pray and come before you in silence. God of every age, God of all the people, uphold those who work and watch and wait and weep
and love. By the power of your ageless spirit, give rise in us a broad sympathy for all the people of your earth. Strengthen us to comfort those who mourn and work in large ways and in small ways to bring about the things that make for peace. We pray for all this and more, so much more, in the name of the one who comes to forgive and to commission. We pray for this and more, so much more, in the name of the one who taught us how to pray, who gave us the words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
There are three pieces to this puzzle. Three things we need to turn this church into the prophet of peace that it has the potential to be. And we already have two of those pieces. First, we have God. God, who since the beginning of time has said, "Here I am ready to form the world." Second, we have here the ministers who since ordination have said, "Here I am. I am ready to serve the world." So here is the moment we have all been waiting for. Here is the moment where our church is complete. This is your moment. The moment where you say, "Here I am. I am ready to heal the world." Siblings in Christ's love, what you offer today will go towards ministries that heal this hopeful world. Ministries that show people the indefinable grace that they are loved. Ministries that take up the inescapable mission, helping the outcast know that there is a place willing to put a bandage on their spiritual wounds. All you have to do is say, "Here I am." The morning offering will now be given and received. O divine giver, we have gathered before us the gifts of potential. Help us use these gifts to say to the world, here we are. We are ready to transform the world. Amen.
Let us go forth from this place loving our God so much that we love nothing else too much, and fearing our God just enough that we need fear nothing else at all. And the blessing of Almighty God, our Creator, Christ, our brother and Savior, and the Holy Spirit be with us this day and every day. And the people said,
Thank you.